We are in Mark number 5 this morning. A remedy for a feverish mother-in-law. Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 34. It's on the screen behind me. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. This is the New Living Translation. After Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away. So he went to her bedside, took her by the hand, and helped her sit up. Then the fever left her, and she prepared a meal for them. That evening, after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. Lord Jesus, this morning, guide our thoughts, clear the clutter from our minds of this past week, activities we are planning on for today, anything that may be ahead of us in the coming week. We need to hear from you this morning. We're counting on you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, of course, there may be no more famous mother-in-law in all of television than Marie, played with such excellence by Dorothy Roberts on Everybody Loves Raymond. She is no doubt the inspiration behind many great mother-in-law jokes. Perhaps you know why they bury a mother-in-law 18 feet down instead of the usual 6 feet down. Well, that's very simple to explain. Because deep down, they're really very nice people. A definition of mixed emotions is, of course, your mother-in-law driving over a cliff in your brand new Cadillac. Those are mixed emotions. And then Adam, the first created human being, had no mother-in-law. And that's how we know he lived in paradise. Yes, paradise and no mother-in-law. Well, today we have the remedy for a feverish mother-in-law. In our text, Simon Peter demonstrated for us the most effective way for dealing with such a delicate issue. First, in your notes there, I want you to look at the visit to the home, if you would write that down. The visit to the home. After Jesus and his disciples left the synagogue, they went over to Simon and Andrew's home. This is a simple statement about Jesus making a house call. I find it fascinating that Christ spent a good deal of time meeting with and eating with people in their homes. Consider a few of the visits that he made. Jesus was willing to visit the centurion's home in Matthew 8, but because of the man's great faith, that visit was not needed, and the servant was healed long distance, if you will. In Matthew 9:10, the Savior had dinner with Matthew at his home. In Matthew 9:23, the ruler requested a house call for his dying daughter. Christ responded, she was quickly raised up. Jesus visited the home of Simon the leper in Matthew 26:6. In Luke's gospel, we find our Lord dropping in on the Pharisees, Martha, Zacchaeus, each a personal home visit. Throughout his ministry, Jesus Christ demonstrated that people appreciate and respond to personal attention and concern. He wanted to meet folks on their home court. The Savior modeled a mentality of genuine interest in the individual. And I see this as a sterling example of our Lord's humility. Write that down. Our Lord's humility. He could have easily limited his ministry to the massive mobs that faithfully followed him from town to town. Jesus could have settled for an impersonal style, and the multitudes would have still gathered. But this Savior took time out for the man on the street. He abandoned the crowd for one individual that had a special need, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, condescended to visit the homes of those he came to redeem. And what a pattern for pastors, for parishioners in every church. We need to get back to old-fashioned hospitality. There's just something irreplaceable about the atmosphere of a home for fostering deeper relationships. This cannot be considered in the exclusive purview of one pastor or a church staff. The call to hospitality is church-wide. It's to each and every one of us, because all of us are to be like Jesus. We should ask God to keep us from becoming cold and apathetic and impersonal. Christians today have this dangerous propensity, don't we, to offer a book or a website in place of personal involvement. People need our love. They need our hospitality. And get this, we need to demonstrate it. We need to demonstrate it. Next, we see the victory of the healing. That's a Roman numeral 2 there in your notes this morning. The victory of the healing. Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about it right away, and he went to her bedside. As far as we know, Christ did not go to Simon Peter's house for the express purpose of ministering to his mother-in-law. It appears the disciples discovered her illness after they arrived there. You know, there are some things you will never find out about a person's need until you get inside the house. Some things you'll never find out about a person's need until you get inside the house. In almost every episode of one of my favorite TV series, Law and Order, yeah, you got to get inside the house to find out what's really going on. And when Jesus got into Martha's house, he discovered that she had been sick for several days. Now, the Greek is strong here. It says she was burning up with a fever. It may have been due to the flu, pneumonia, an intestinal disease, even malaria, which was very common in our Lord's time. We can only speculate as to the cause of the fever, but we know this woman had a bodily temperature that was dangerously elevated. The title of the message today is Remedy for a Feverish Mother-in-Law. The solution in verse 30 is this: give her over to Jesus. Give her over to Jesus. They told Jesus about her right away. You know, this is the best way to handle any hassle in the house. I remember a woman who gave this testimony. I finally gave my husband over to the Lord because I couldn't do anything with him. That's actually pretty well stated. That's precisely what the disciples did. It's good advice for all of us to follow. You see, friends, in your notes there, certain matters cannot be settled by communication or negotiation on the human level. They are simply out of our direct control. They cannot be handled by negotiation on the human level. We must turn certain things over to Christ. Take our hands off completely. Just like you saw this woman, literally, take her hands off the steering wheel, get out of the car, and walk away from it. That's what we need to do. And we should do it, the text here says, right away. During my early days as a revivalist in the late 70s, I traveled with a layman from Abbotsford. His name is Henry Tycrob. Henry told this story on himself, and it powerfully illustrates the point I'm making. Henry had a son who was not unlike most boys at the age of 16. He would borrow dad's car and then squeal the tires on the way out of the driveway. Henry became very frustrated with this until one day God showed him that he was to commit everything to the Lord and leave it there. Mr. Tykrob radically applied this to the house, to the family, to the marriage, and yes, even the car. He called the family together one day and openly committed all these things to God. He said, "This is God's house now. This is God's car out there in the garage." Well, the next time Henry's son wanted to use the car, Dad was completely relaxed. After getting the keys, his boy walked slowly away, and then he turned back to say, "Hey, Dad, did you really mean that stuff about this being God's car now?" "Yes, son, that's right. God owns it now." Big smile came across Henry's face as he looked out the window, saw his son slowly back out of the driveway, slowly drive down the street. You see, the boy was driving God's car now, not Dad's. The freedom that comes to our hearts when we turn everything and everyone over to Christ. Write that down. Everything, everyone. We don't have to do the saving, the convicting, the healing. These are works of God. We simply need to take our hands off. Let the Lord do what only He can do. This is exactly what Peter and his colleagues did with this feverish mother-in-law. We don't see the disciples getting in the way here. They stepped aside to let Jesus take over. It was an integral part of the victory of this healing. The four fishermen were learning only Jesus can heal. They told Jesus about her right away. I want to ask you this morning, what do you need to tell Jesus about right away today? What do you need to tell Him about this morning? What are those circumstances you cannot control? Who are those people that you want Jesus to touch? Give these things to Jesus right away. Notice what happened when the disciples turned this suffering woman over to the Savior. As He took her by the hand and helped her to sit up, the fever suddenly left and she got up. And so the picture here is that Christ is lifting the burden from both the disciples and this sick woman. Don't you see that? Isn't that beautiful? It's a double miracle in that sense. Christ lifting two burdens at once. He took the issue of her illness on Himself. She is instantly cured. And our Lord takes away the concern of Peter and the disciples as He takes control of the situation. Praise God for the words of Isaiah. He took our sicknesses. He removed our diseases. And this victory of healing happens each and every time we place an insurmountable scenario in the Savior's hands. This victory of healing will happen, but not always resolved according to our plan or our timetable. But God does know what is best. He does not make mistakes. I think there are those in this audience this morning struggling with a strange and confounding illness. It may be physical or emotional or mental. Would you place yourself immediately in His loving care? A parent with us devastated by the choices of a wayward son or daughter. Just as you dedicated them to the Lord as infants, I call you this morning, commit them once again into God's hands as young adults. Maybe there's a husband or wife who just needs to surrender an intractable spouse to the Lord. Tell Jesus about it right away. We may have concerns related to this church today. We must lay these anxieties at His feet. Someone here may be at a career crossroads. You just don't know which way to turn. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do. He will direct your paths. You see the double victory? The mother-in-law is miraculously healed, and also the disciples are learning a valuable lesson about who is really in charge. So we do our part, and then we leave the final victory to Christ. The victory of healing led then to the valuation of the heart. Would you put that down as Roman numeral 3? She got up and prepared a meal for them. Valuation, by the way, means appreciation. And what an apt description of the mother-in-law's reaction to that instantaneous healing. Because Jesus had ministered to her need, she in turn wanted to express her gratitude in the form of servanthood. So Peter's mother-in-law prepares a meal for them. It was the right thing to do in the light of what Christ had just done for her. And the tense Mark uses suggests that it took a while for her to make a very delectable dinner. What's the important truth we need to see here in your notes? Simply this: the grace of our Lord should stir us to gratitude and steer us into servanthood. The grace of our Lord should stir us to gratitude and steer us into servanthood. Jesus did not say to the sick woman, "We sure are hungry. If I heal you, will you make us a great big feast?" No. It was His grace that led Him to heal her. She could not have, did not have to earn His healing touch. Also, this mother-in-law did not say, "Well, since Jesus healed me, I guess I owe these guys a meal now." You know, grudgingly drags herself into the kitchen. No. Her meal preparation was in grateful response to the grace and healing she received. She was not acting according to a set of rules. Her hospitality was natural. It was a heart reaction to amazing grace. Zacchaeus had a similar response when Christ announced that they would do lunch at his house that day. Do you remember? The little man did not have to consult the law books to find out what he should do next after he was born again. His immediate commitment to restitution for stolen money as an evil tax collector was purely in response to the love of Jesus. In your notes there, when Christ announced that salvation has come to this home today, it was not to celebrate the fact that Zacchaeus had somehow earned his redemption. No, no. The Savior was applauding this man's reaction to the forgiveness he had already received from Christ. By the way, you probably heard what the doctor told Zacchaeus when Zacchaeus visited in his office. He was complaining about his short stature, and the doctor said, "Well, you'll just have to be a little patient." Some of you will get that a little later than today, but we should never forget this important fact. God's salvation, His healing, His deliverance, other blessings cannot be earned by some outstanding act of service. But when we are the recipients of marvelous grace, we should respond with a servant's heart, just like this mother-in-law. Many people today make rash promises to the Lord in the midst of crises. "Oh Lord, if you'll just heal me, if you'll just get me through this financial dilemma, if you'll just let me land that better job, I promise I'll serve you." So many times, God mercifully answers those desperate cries for help, only to be ignored by the promise maker when the calamity has passed. Peter's mother-in-law had it right, didn't she? The valuation of her heart led to servanthood. We'd be wise to follow her example. Finally, then, in our text, I want you to see the vindication of the hopeless. Verses 32 to 34. "That evening at sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus, and a huge crowd of people from all over Capernaum gathered outside the door to watch. So Jesus healed great numbers of sick people who had many different kinds of diseases, and He ordered many demons to come out of their victims. But because they knew who He was, He refused to allow the demons to speak. Now the Sabbath day was over at sunset, according to Jewish law." That's why Mark opens verse 32 with the words, "that evening at sunset." It was now legal for the sick and the oppressed to come to Christ for healing. Brought is a very graphic term here in the Greek language. It literally means, as you see behind me here on the clip, these ailing ones were being carried to Jesus by concerned loved ones and friends. They were in such bad shape they couldn't even walk up to Christ on their own strength. They were being carried to Him. There's evidently a long line forming at Peter's door. We could just picture that child with a high fever here and over there, a man with large blisters oozing with putrid pus. Further back in the line lays a woman coughing blood as the result of internal bleeding. Some are writhing demoniacs being cautiously restrained lest they lash out in violence. Now it's interesting to note, just 10 miles from Capernaum, in the city of Tiberias, were the famous hot mineral pools which supposedly contained curative waters. But these baths were no balm for the bleeding, broken souls being carried to Peter's house that night. Local doctors had nothing to offer these diseased and demonized patients. So surrounded by this famous health spa, plenty of physicians, these desperate people were hopeless. They were doomed to a sudden and painful death if someone had not quickly intervened. What a pathetic scene. Dying people with no one to help them. No medicine. No way out. But then Jesus came to the door. Friends, I tell you this morning, when no one else could vindicate or vouch for these suffering souls, Jesus was there. Everyone else had given up, not our Lord. Christ defended the deaf and the depressed, the demon-possessed. He sided with the sick and the loner, secluded person over there. This is a tiny picture of the work God has accomplished for the whole human race on a super grand scale. Satan and sin were destroying civilization. Human gods and sacrifices were not able to release us from Satan's grip and sin's grasp. Think of it this way. All of us were standing in that line outside Peter's house. We were dying spiritually. The demons were licking their lips, preparing to feast on our damned souls. But then Jesus came. Jesus came. Founder of the Salvation Army, William Booth. O boundless salvation, deep ocean of love, O fullness of mercy, Christ brought from above, the whole world redeeming, so rich and so free, now flowing for all men. Come roll over me. Oh, this morning, would you let it roll over you? We can be healed of the single most serious sickness tormenting the human race. Sin can no longer control us. Satan can no longer condemn us. Jesus Christ has vindicated our helpless condition through His victory on the cross. That same conquest on Calvary has provided for the healing of our physical, our emotional, our mental, our spiritual illnesses. You know, I love the wording there in verse 34 in our text. Jesus healed many different kinds of diseases. Isn't that beautiful? You know what that says? You can't surprise God with your need this morning. You can't surprise Him. To put it in the vernacular, God has been there, healed that. Amen? God has been there and healed that. I conclude with a word for the corporate church. Will we, like our mentor and master Jesus, stand up for the downtrodden, the depressed, the demonized. I believe the evangelical church today has been guilty of a rotten, arrogant elitism that would seek to marginalize certain people groups, certain sins that people may commit. I've been grieved in my spirit to hear Christians speak disparagingly about specific cultures as if they were somehow less important to Jesus, or specific kinds of sins as if they were somehow less forgivable by Jesus. We see here in Mark, nothing could be further from the truth. Dear friends, Jesus loves us all equally and with the same intensity this morning. Let this congregation seek to be all things to all people, if by any means we might save some, in the words of Paul. And I call anyone who thinks differently to repentance at the foot of the cross. This is the gospel. Hallelujah! What a Savior. He visits the home. He is victorious in healing. He brings valuation to the heart. He vindicates the hopeless. Are you here today in need of these ministries from Jesus Christ? For someone who's never trusted Him as Savior, Jesus can bring salvation to you today if you will simply repent of your sin and believe that He will save you and give you a new heart. There are people sitting next to you who could help you with that. I could help you with that. We would all be more than happy to assist anyone here today who has never trusted this Jesus with your sin problem. He can give you a clean slate this morning. You can know, not hope, not think, you can know as you leave here today that you're going to spend eternity in heaven because of what Jesus accomplished. For the believer here, He can bring physical and emotional and mental healing to you. The Son of God can so bless you that you're going to want to be a blessing, just like this mother-in-law. And Jesus, oh, He stands ready to vindicate your case and mine, no matter how hopeless it may seem. Oh, but Pastor Tom, you don't understand the mess I've made. Listen to me. His grace is greater than all our sin combined. I cannot explain that, but I can enjoy that. And so can you, because it's a fact. Worship team is going to come and lead us in singing about a Savior who is mighty, mighty to save. And then we'll have our benediction. Would you pray with me this morning? What an apt song, Lord Jesus, to conclude with this morning. You are mighty to save. Thank You for vindicating my hopeless condition. Lord, every one of us in this room today have made a mess of things. Then Jesus came to the door. You brought order to our disorder. You brought forgiveness where we have sinned. You brought meaning to a sense of utter meaninglessness and hope where there was just nothing but hopelessness. Jesus, if there's one person, even one, that still does not know about that hope that You can bring to the human heart, may this be the day of salvation. For my Christian brothers and sisters struggling, folks here today who need to just take their hands off of some situation that is absolutely beyond their control, may we learn from Peter and the disciples and the handling of this mother-in-law. We praise You for what You're saying to us through the Gospel of Mark. We go from here today not from Your presence, but with your presence, rejoicing in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.